again, and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. Foreplay is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Each episode, we cover an aspect of sex that impacts your sex life and something that you can relate to. So if you find our discussions helpful, please give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. We would love it if you would tell a friend about us. You can find us also on the web at foreplayrst.com. And if you have a comment or a topic that you'd like us to talk about, we'd love to hear from you. Please send them to us at info@foreplayrst.com. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic. Hey.
Hey, Lori.
How are you?
Back at it again. I'm pretty good.
How was your weekend?
Oh, my goodness. It was awful. We went to see The Greatest Showman. Have you seen The Greatest Showman yet?
No, what is that?
It's a new musical about P.T. Barnum.
Oh,
and
fun.
My girls have been listening to the music over and over and over again. And
that would drive me crazy.
It's good music, fortunately. Uh-huh. That's good. But they
circuses scare me.
They've been putting on shows all weekend.
My kids, so precious.
My kids love to put on shows. So they practice them and practice them and practice them, but they're always just spontaneous improv shows. But my youngest daughter is very
Animated,
and so she lip syncs to all these songs, and there's a lot of fist clutching and emoting, and that happens.
As
soon as we notice her, we can't notice her. I don't know if you notice this with this your kids, but she's
you don't want
grade.
To make her self conscious.
Yeah, she doesn't want it. As soon as she sees us watching her, then everything changes. Mm-hmm. So she wants to do it in private. Mm-hmm. But we tell her then maybe don't do it in the living room where everybody is. So that was literally all of our weekend was watching The Greatest Showman and then emotive performance. How was yours?
It was good. We were in the mountains with friends and that was lovely. Yeah. It was not as much snow there actually as down here.
Yeah.
But it was nice.
That's one of the underrated regions. I was not expecting the mountains to be as nice when we moved to North Carolina, but it is one of our favorite places. If you haven't visited the Appalachian Mountains in North Carolina, you should.
Smoky Mountains.
The Smoky Mountains are great.
Well, you're right. The mountains in North Carolina, I guess. But seeing the range, right, of in the distance, all the different colors on the hills, it's just incredible.
Yeah. It's great. Have y'all driven the Blue Ridge Parkway yet?
Oh, yeah, multiple times.
Oh, it's our favorite.
It's fantastic.
We're in a convertible. Blue Ridge Parkway. Blue Ridge Parkway.
Okay, this is a fantasy. Okay, let's get on with this.
Okay.
We're going to talk about dating after divorce today and sex after divorce. Somebody asked us to talk about dating a younger man, and I'm not sure we'll catch all of that here, but maybe we can, talk about some of it. When do you think people should start dating again? What's your policy on that?
I don't know that there's a set answer. I think it's really dependent on the person. But I think that there's a sense that I get that it should be sometime when you have begun to process what has happened to you. Mm-hmm. We talked recently in a podcast about affair being a trauma. I think divorce is a trauma as well.
Huge trauma.
And so when you haven't begun to process what has happened to you and what has happened to your relationship and what has happened to your family, I think it's too soon. Mm-hmm. And so each person goes through that differently. Mm-hmm. Right. And
such a great answer.
And so you have to be able to figure that out. Well, thank you.
Yeah. There are conferences and stuff on helping people get over this. And sometimes they say, or seminars, and they say, you should not start dating for 6 months or a year. Mm-hmm. And it's a very set period of time. But I agree with you that people go through this differently. Sometimes they've been in a marriage for many, many years, and they've already sort of withdrawn and processed while they were still married, and they really are ready to date once the divorce comes and is final they're separated.
I think they really have to kind of examine their motivations for dating again. Mm-hmm. Right? If your motivation is coming from a place of reacting to fear of being alone or your ex-partner has started dating and so you're trying to prove that you're past it or prove to yourself or to others that you're over it, or you're reacting to anger or anything like that,
probably not going to be successful.
It's not going to be successful.
Forming another relationship.
I mean, that's the kind of the definition of rebound relationship, right? I mean, and it's you're trying to get over what has happened to you through the relationship, which doesn't end up well for anybody.
Yeah, but I think there's something about health in terms of our desire to be with another.
Yes.
I mean, that to me is a really positive force.
Yeah. And you mean
attachment.
I mean,
it's the desire to be with somebody is a positive human force. It's the greatest force, I think, in us, the desire to be attached to somebody. So, you know, I don't dissuade people from dating if they want to start, if they feel ready to.
No. It's not going to be a disaster, right? It's not going to.
No, I mean, it's a date.
It's a date, yeah. And that is, I think, even wanting to be there may be an indication that you are ready. Wanting that desire to be in a relationship is one indication that you might be ready to begin to date again, right?
Right. So it's an individual time frame. I think that when you start dating, one of the big problems is this overcoming being rejected goods, right? Or overcoming the stigma of, I have to tell people I'm divorced, and the sense of failure. I hear a lot of people talking about that.
Well, the fear is that you're going to be judged for that failed relationship, right? And so I hear a lot of people talking about when they're starting to date again, when do I tell the other person that I'm divorced?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when do I disclose that information?
It's on the app,
hard.
Right?
Yeah.
It's on the app. I mean, eHarmony, don't they require that?
Well, sure, but doesn't mean you have to give it.
Yeah,
it doesn't
sure.
mean you have to put your you can't lie about that information, but. Yeah, I mean, I think that concept of yourself, right, and the value that you're placing on yourself becomes a question mark and something that you're suddenly unsure about, right?
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I do think that even though I'm pro-marriage and very supportive, and I think most every marriage can be healed, there are some marriages that need to end. Mm-hmm. There are some that are toxic, where a partner is toxic, or there are some that, you know, are problematic. And so I really think it does need to end, and I think that people need to process that to get over their shame about it so that they can feel free, you know?
Yeah,
this doesn't make me a failure.
That's right. There were mistakes that were probably made, even in relationships that maybe could have been salvaged but weren't able to do that. There were mistakes made, but that doesn't define who you are or your character either. It doesn't mean that you're not worthy enough to have a good relationship with somebody.
And I think if they're processing it and they know why the marriage ended and why it wasn't maybe a good marriage, that's really the important part in order to get ready for the next relationship.
Yeah. And I think that leads into something else. To begin to have a healthy another relationship, you have to recognize that you're going to have baggage that you're going to bring from the divorce into the next relationship. And knowing what that baggage is, I think we're just so blind to this sometimes. We're blind to our own stuff. Self-awareness is hard.
Yeah.
Right? And so I have a lot of people that say, well, I'm not going to treat my partner the same way that I treated my previous partner, or I'm not going to project onto them.
Mm-hmm.
And we almost always do that.
Mm-hmm.
We almost always project onto them. And that's not a bad thing, but we need to at least try to be aware of how we're doing that.
And I think that's a better position, saying I'm not going to treat my partner the way I treated my last partner, than I'm just not going to pick the same partner. Right? Mm-hmm. Because then they're not really aware of how they contributed to the dynamic.
That's right.
That's more problematic.
Yeah.
I had a bad picker. It's like, maybe. Or maybe you saw early warning signs that you ignored because you're passive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without really understanding your contribution, even if it's, oh my gosh, I saw this craziness early and I should have gotten out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of times they need to see that they're too passive.
Yeah. And I think that whatever your contribution is to it, like it's hard to separate that from blame, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to separate, this was my contribution to what happened in our relationship, so that means that I'm fully responsible for why the relationship broke up and didn't make it, as opposed to just being aware and saying, okay, these are the things that I need to improve in myself.
Yeah.
That's a different, right?
Mm-hmm. I would say if you're dating somebody who has been divorced, it's a big red flag if they don't take responsibility for some part of the marital disillusion, right? Mm. I mean, they need to take responsibility for it. If they're a blamer and they're just saying, well, she was just crazy, or, you know, he was just a nut, you know, or this, that, and the other, and they don't really, first of all, I mean, that's an a conversation that doesn't happen on a date one.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
It's after you've been together for some period of time that you would volunteer that information. But mm-hmm. I think it's a decent question. Can you tell me about, you know, why you divorced, right?
Or even maybe asking, can you tell me about your contribution to the, like, what did you think was that you need to do differently next time, mm-hmm. too? If you're mm-hmm. at a place where your relationship is strong enough for you to ask that type of question.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Definitely. So I think that dating after divorce, one thing, and we're going to talk about sex when we come back from the break, but is sort of developing an evaluation formula. Mm-hmm. Like, how do I say this person meets my list?
Yeah. You know,
what is my list? I think really character counts. Mm. You know, one thing that maybe if you married young or, you know, even coming out of a long-term marriage, the sense is attractiveness wears thin. Surface things wear thin when you're in the daily grind with somebody. So maybe they have wealth or maybe they have a beach house or, you know, whatever. And it's like, that's just not enough. You have to look at their commitments and how they have held to their commitments to evaluate. I think that's one of the most important things. So when you develop your list, think about more than they're cute.
And that list is important.
They're hot.
Right. It's like I encourage people literally make a list, write the things down.
I think so too.
That you're wanting to look for, and then also
because that can guide us in the moment of, you know, in love, crazy hot sex.
That's right.
Stuff
and also who you want. You make a list of who you want them to be, the other person to be, but I think you also make a list of who you want to be in a relationship.
Oh, I like that. That is great. Especially coming out of a divorce.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, what type of
person?
What
do I need to be?
Yeah, because then you know, like, if you're not being that in the relationship, the relationship is probably not right for you. If you want to be a grounded, emotionally unreactive person in a relationship, mm-hmm. and then you find that you are freaking out when they don't call you back, or your anxiety goes up when they have a weekend away mm-hmm. with and don't invite you to do that, then that's an indication that the relationship might not, you might not be ready, or you might not be in a place that in a relationship that is good for you. You want them to bring out your best self and who you want to be, right?
So we want to be securely attached, and we really want to look for somebody who's securely attached.
Okay.
You know, somebody who has good boundaries, who calls back when they say they're going to call back. That kind of thing. Okay, let's come back at the break and talk about sex after divorce. So, Adam, we're going to do a new thing. We are going to offer a link to Patreon on Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy, which is foreplayrst.com, for people who are really interested in helping us develop deeper, you know, more interesting podcasts and also offer resources to them.
Yeah, Patreon is a platform where you can directly support things that you love. And we know that several of you have been real supportive of us, and we hope you would consider being financially supportive as well.
Right, because we're running practices and families, and we need time really to do more, something like a webinar. We'd like to do some worksheets for you.
We really want to expand the resources that we can be able to provide to you as our listeners, dive deeper into the questions you have, offer more practical steps for you to have the best possible relationship.
So we're looking for some patrons. We appreciate already the love, the emails that you send. All of that is great. So if you love listening to us, you can find out how to support us by going to our website, foreplayrst.com. Thank you so much for considering that. We appreciate it.
Wanting Sex Again: How to Rediscover Desire and Heal a Sexless Marriage by Certified Sex Therapist Lori Watson.
Each chapter is designed to fix one of the problems that cause low libido, from early marriage through the childbearing years, even all the way through menopause. I've also had men read it and tell me that for them it was the most hopeful thing they read about resolving sexual problems.
Look for Wanting Sex Again on Amazon.com. You can also talk to Lori Watson for therapy in person or via Skype.
I offer couples counseling and sex therapy, and I think about both aspects of the relationship, emotional intimacy and sexual technique, and that combination together helps marriages be happy.
Improve your sex and improve your relationship with Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Find out more at awakenloveandsex.com. Awaken what's possible.
Hi, I'm Dr. Adam Matthews, and I want to welcome you to Matthews Counseling.
At Matthews Counseling, we believe it is our job to come alongside you in whatever difficult challenges of life you are in and help you rediscover hope and to find the strength that you have to face those challenges. We believe in people, specifically that no two people are alike and therefore they need solutions that are unique to them. We strive to create a safe and comfortable place for you to explore who you want to be and identify the obstacles standing in your way. Oftentimes, the first step toward finding help is the hardest, but it can also be the bravest. At MatthewsCounseling.net, we strive to help make the first step easy. There, you will find our blog with some great resources from our therapist. You'll also find a link to our client portal where you can schedule directly with our therapist at your convenience. We offer free 30-minute consultations, either in person or over the phone, so the first step is at no cost to you. Give us a call at 919-587-8018, or again, find us online at MatthewsCounseling.net. We look forward to working with you. Hey, Lori.
Hi. So I think that sex after divorce, as I've been thinking about this, is, you know, the biggest thing I hear from people is this sense of vulnerability. Like, oh my gosh, I got to get naked with somebody new after all these years. That's a big one.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the anxiety about that really goes up, right? Mm-hmm. Especially if they've been in a relationship for a long time.
Right. Right.
That just continues to go up. And
I think also fear of performance. Am I going to be any good at all out in this new marketplace, having somebody evaluate me again for the first time? That's just, people are really scared to death.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, and it is such a scary thing.
Right.
So vulnerable, you know, to either be evaluated for your physical appearance or for your sexual performance. And a lot of people who are dating, you know, maybe it's been a decade. And things have changed.
Yeah. I think this might be a question for you, like, because I think evaluating when you're ready to date is one evaluation. Mm-hmm. Evaluating when you're ready to have sex again is a whole nother evaluation, right?
It is.
So how do you think that somebody makes that judgment call?
Well, I think they have to decide why they want to have sex. Is sex about a moment, pleasure, or is sex about an evaluation about a commitment? Is sex, you know, what is the sex about? Mm. And so that is part of it. You know, do they want to have just a season of sexual connection without commitment? First of all, I think that there is a bit of a gender difference in this. I still think that women, once they have sex, think that it's a commitment. So if you're going out there thinking, okay, you know, the evening led to sex, and so that means he really, really likes me, and he's going to want to date me, you know, get a grip.
Okay.
You know, it does not mean that.
I like when Blunt Lori comes out. When Blunt Lori comes out, look out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so get a grip on yourself. Like,
right.
Right. Okay.
Sex these days does not mean commitment.
Okay.
In the single world, right? It often does mean an expression of love within a commitment and a way people feel love as their primary love language. But in the dating world, it could just mean pleasure for the moment.
Yeah.
Oh, and use a condom.
Yeah.
And demand the use of a condom. Really, sure. Really, really. I mean, I just don't think people should be having sex until they have that STD conversation and until they know the person well enough to believe that they would be telling the truth.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll get off that.
Safe sex. Safe sex, everybody.
Safe sex. Absolutely. Okay. So.
Well, I mean, I think one of the things that you're talking about is, especially if somebody has been in a relationship for a long time, if dating was happening, dating or sex, if it's been a while since you've been out there, understanding what people are currently doing right now, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And being able to do two things, to enter that world understanding what the expectations are and what how people are going about dating and sex in the current environment, right?
Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, different than maybe 10 years ago, 20 years ago, certainly. So if you're divorced and it's been a couple of decades, you're in for a wild ride.
Yeah, but you have to understand that. But then you also have to understand what are your non-negotiables,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
With sex and with dating, right?
Yes.
So you may have to learn that the majority of people now meet each other through dating apps.
Yeah.
Right. Like that is the majority of how dating happens these days, and where people meet, right? But you may have some boundaries that you do not, you may have to compromise your desire to meet somebody face-to-face first before you begin, initiate contact with them. But, and that may be okay with you, but in, you know, having sex with them on the first, second, or third date may not be okay with you, right? And so you kind of have to learn where those boundaries are for you, where those non-negotiables are for you.
That's standard. I mean, so many people I talk to who are dating again are having sex first, second, and third date easily.
Right.
Easily.
But if they're doing that because they think that's what it's expected and that's how they're going to go about dating or finding somebody, then
or that they're going to get something out of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
They would be very disappointed. I also think you need to be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, because if you're really just there for a hookup or something, be honest with that person because they may think differently about it. Mm-hmm. I did have this patient, a male patient who I saw after divorce, and he would say to me, you know, I'm out with a woman and she seems a little too crazy to be with, but yeah, she's offering it up, so why not? Why would I not? She's attractive. I want to have sex. That makes sense. And then he said, over time, so many of these women would call back in 2 days screaming at him like, I had sex with you. Why didn't you call me back? He's like, well, it was mutual consent and it was a good time, but I didn't like you well enough to call you back, which, of course, he never really directly said. But he was curious about this constant, you know, rage after it. And so eventually he decided, I'm going to rule out the crazy. I'm going to rule out whether or not I want to be with the person, you know, whether or not there's a future of just dating, not if I want to be with them forever, but, you know, if I want to continue dating and I'm going to hold off a little bit on sex for that, which really made sense, I think, to him over time because he got so tired of that rage reaction.
Yeah. I had a client as well who post-divorce was trying to restore the relationship status quo that he knew through sex, right? And so that became the means to say, I'm okay. Like, and now I have somebody that's committed with me. We're in a stable relationship in part because we're having sex, and that means I'm okay. Mm-hmm. And that became a source of frustration when those relationships didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And he was okay when he was in a relationship and having sex with somebody and was not okay when he wasn't, which is really like it just creates this kind of up and down emotional roller coaster that makes it really hard to evaluate the relationship as well, right?
Yeah, and I mean, this is a hard season because sex is stabilizing. Sex does make us feel good, and so it's natural to want to have sex. Mm. It's just hard to put it all together with maybe what you want out of a relationship. And some people don't want another relationship. Mm. You know, they just want consecutive sexual partners or whatever, and we're not here to judge that. You know, we're here to help couples who, you know, want to stay together and are committed, but we understand, you know, there's a lot of differences out there.
Yeah, but I think that for those people that are wanting to another relationship after they've divorced, being able to judge that and not just pursue that because that means they're okay. I just see that a lot, I think, of using their relationship status to judge whether they are okay in life. Right. And so that gets cloudy. And then on top of which, sex kind of can at times confuse that. Mm-hmm. Right. Because you can mistake good sex for a stable relationship.
Right.
Right.
I mean,
and a relationship that's going to last.
This is a hard one. And I think people always ask me, how do you evaluate whether that person is going to be a good sexual partner forever?
Yeah. How do you judge that?
Yeah, and I think that, first of all, you have to be committed to the fact that sex is work, right? Having a great sexual partnership for life is a ton of work. You know, maybe having great sex in the beginning is a good beginning, but I see lots and lots of couples who had great sex in the beginning who have their sexual life fall apart, you know? So it's not necessarily that's it. And I also see people who maybe didn't start quite as hot who learn how to build it and eventually have loving, great sex. So, you know, it's hard, but it's not a perfect sign. Great sex in the beginning. I would say there's rule outs. If you're not attracted to the person, don't go on with it. I mean, at this stage, if you really know you're not attracted to them or if you just feel lukewarm, that's crazy to continue to pursue that because I do think that this is a stage for decisions, to make the wisest decision that you can. And so that's a rule out.
Yeah, I mean, tell me what you think about this, but I think in general, a lot of people need to go slower. As a general rule of thumb, going slow is better than going too fast. Right.
Sure.
And I think that there's a rush sometimes, to either move into a relationship or move into a sexual relationship, especially post-divorce, because you're just wanting something that feels normal to you. A lot of times, because the divorce shakes everything up.
Right.
It changes your routines. It changes your living situation. Sometimes you have to move. Sometimes you get into different routines with kids. Friend groups change, like everything changes,
yeah,
right?
It changes a lot.
And so it feels like you want a sense of normalcy, and sometimes relationships seem to provide that. But the stats don't lie, is that the divorce rates for second, third, and fourth marriages go way up, right? They climb with each successive marriage. And so moving into a relationship too soon is much more dangerous than likely to fail than it is just to be able to go slow and to move more deliberately and more intentionally than maybe feels natural to you. Would you agree with that, or you think that's
well,
too
certainly
cautious?
I would agree with that, because my bias is toward long-term relationship, and I think our podcast bias is toward that. So we want to help people get to that. But once they are in relationship and dating and sexual, what about that, and what are signs to look for? And I think that, you know, a selfish lover, somebody who doesn't reciprocate, somebody who you've told what you like and sort of ignores that and is only in it for themselves, that to me is either ignorance or selfishness. And I just think, you know, you really need to evaluate that early. I would say the number one thing sexually and in relationship is people show you who they are. They show you who they are right up front.
And trust that, yeah.
And, I mean, they'll fill in the details later, but if you have a really bad feeling about somebody, or you notice something, you know, they yell at the waiter, or they, you know, treat you badly in bed, think about that. Really think hard about that. I don't care how attractive they are. I don't care how wealthy they are. I don't care what you want to fantasize that they're going to be. Forget about it.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
That's okay, good. Dating and sex after divorce. We could probably talk and write a book about that, because there is so much here. But thanks for listening to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy with your sex therapist, Lori Watson, and couples therapist, Dr. Adam Matthews. Hey, help us stay on top here at Foreplay. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take one sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.